Today's class will be on Yom Kippur. Hopefully, Yitzhak Shem, I hope to also do a little bit of Ha'azinu, the Parsha, because the Parsha is very much congruent to the holiday of Yom Kippur. I don't know what that word means. It sounded like a good thing to throw in there. I hope that made sense. But we'll start with Yom Kippur. We'll see how we do here. First thing we should know. The first thing really you should know, besides the first thing you should know, there's a preface to the first thing you should know, and that is there's a God in the world. I say this because we get so caught up in routine, whether you're davening three times a day and learning 12 hours a day, or shaking the lulav and esrog, and doing your mitzvahs and everything, doing mitzvahs of chesed, going visiting people in the hospital or honoring your parents, what it is, but you get so caught in the routine, especially davening, that you forget who you're doing this for. And this is not my phrase. I believe it was, I think it was Rav Victor Miller that said this once. Like, I think it was the middle of Yom Kippur he said this. He clopped on the beam and he says, I just want everybody to know there's a God in the veld. Forget. You get so involved, like Rob Epstein once told me this about Rosh Hashanah. He says, all this talk about Rosh Hashanah and we're forgetting about Rosh Hashanah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Okay. Yom Kippur is a new start, folks. It's a mikveh. That's what it says. Hashem's a mikveh. It says, a Kodesh Baruch is a mikveh. You go on a mikveh, you come out pure. New start. New slate. Chance. Bria Chadasha, we become like new beings. Homachleikus, whether Yom Kippur itself, difference of opinion, Yom Kippur itself atones for you, or if you have to do some atonement before you get into the day. A lot of discussion on that. But anyways, it's a chance to get off to a brand new start. What's the word? What's the theme of the day, folks? Tshuva. Tshuva, tshuva, tshuva. Repentance, right? That's what we're going to have. Let's analyze the word. It's unbelievable. The Hebrew language. Number one, tshuva. Break it up. Teshuv Hashem. Return to God. It loses its translation with the word repentance, even though obviously that is the connotation. But listen to the literal translation. Tshuva, teshuva Hashem. You're returning back to God. You're returning back to your source. We have all alienated ourselves from HaKadosh Baruch Hu one way or another. Now tshuva comes. We have a chance to reunite with Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is, they say Yom Kippur, in fact, is a day. It's a day of hope and life for Yisrael, for us, and a day of mercy and longing by Hashem. He longs for our repentance so that he can bestow his mercy upon us. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, this is the biggest, it says that this day is the biggest simcha for our Kodesh Baruch Hu, the biggest day of happiness for our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Why? Why is this day the ultimate simcha? Because it's a day of Yom Slicha U'Mechila. It's a day of complete forgiveness and atonement. It's a day when his children, Klal Yisrael, us, can become pure. There's no bigger joy for HaKadosh Baruch Hu than that. A chance to make us pure. This is the biggest day of simcha for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Something to keep in mind with all the fear and awe of the day, which is good, you gotta have it. But don't forget, this is a day of simcha. You hear, guys? Okay. Tshuva. We're breaking down the word tshuva for those who just came in. We said number one, it means shuv Hashem, return to God. Another meaning of the word tshuva, the letters of tshuva spell the word busha. To have shame, guilt. I know in today's society, those are dirty words. Psychologists will get all over your case for saying this. Hold on a second, I'm trying to record. Is it already going? Oh, good. But that's what tshuva is. Tshuva also has the word shame. And listen to this from Or Gedolyahu. He says, he quotes the Rambam, Maimonides. He says, when we're boishim ma'aseim, when Israel is like feels shame of their deeds, zeu ikar yisoido shel tshuva. This is the primary foundation to do tshuva. You gotta feel bad of what you did. Busha, shame, tshuva. Okay, we said it was a day of Simcha, B'Kodesh Baruch Hu. It's the ultimate day of Simcha because he gets to clean us up. But we have this, like a paradox. It's not really, it stems. By us, we have this continually. We have a verse to describe it in Tehillim, in Psalms. It's called Gilu Birada. Rejoice in trembling. Right? We rejoice as a Simcha, but yet we're in trepidation and awe. So I told you one side of it, the Simcha. I got to tell you the other side of it. Listen to this. You know the custom, some people, usually married men, wear a kittel. Kittel, the white robe. Why a kittel? Listen to this. From Sefer HaTodah. A kittel beged meisim. It's the clothes the dead wear. It looks like shrouds. So we wear this in Yom Kippur. Why? Because now we're going to like the upper world of judgment. About to be judged before the King of Kings, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we're trying to picture ourselves as we're doing this now. This is like a microcosm, a preview of what's going to happen after 120 years when we all leave this world and get there. We're going to be doing the same thing. We're going to be in shrouds, right? Pleading before our Kodesh Baruch Hu. But listen to this. There's a big difference. When we're before the throne of glory after 120 years to give a din v'cheshbon, to give an accounting and reckoning for everything we did here on earth, and we'll have charata gemura, we'll have unbelievable regret for the things we did here, right? Too late. But now charata regret helps. Now repentance helps. Now pouring out our hearts to HaKadosh Baruch Hu helps. We can get forgiveness. Okay? So remember, there's going to be a time where it's going to be too late to do all that. Yom Kippur, you wear a kittel. Remind you, there's going to come a day, the ultimate day of judgment. Too late then. You can be sorry all you want. It's too late. But now you got a chance. Yafa sha'achar b'tshuva ma'isim toivim bo'ilam hazeh. 1 hour of repentance and good deeds of this world is worth all the next world. This is it. Okay.
1 hour of repentance in this world is worth what?
This is Ethics of Our Fathers, a famous Mishnah, what really just pretty much sums up what life's all about. It says, this world, ha'olam hazeh domeh leproizdor lefnei olam haba. This world is like an antechamber before the next world. You know what your job is? Prepare yourself in this world. Remember this. We're going to hit this later, God willing. Remember this. You got to prepare yourself in this world, says the Mishnah in Ethics of Our Fathers. Prepare yourself in the antechamber so you can enter the great hallway, the great banquet. Then it goes on to say, 1 hour of Torah, it says 1 hour of tshuva, repentance and good deeds in this world is worth more than all the next world. And one moment of a passing bliss of the next world is greater than all the pleasures. That's all the pleasures of all of mankind, all wrapped up in one little spot, concentrated. One moment of a passing bliss in the next world is greater than all the pleasures of this world that anybody's ever experienced, cumulative, everybody together.
Don't those statements kind of contradict each other?
Very good,
that's
very
why
good
I'm
one.
So
right, so that's so how does this work? Well, there is the way it works is the following. The enjoyment, real enjoyment, simcha, true joy and happiness, that can only be experienced in spiritual terms. We're talking about lasting happiness and joy. not frivolous laughter that's like a firework display, right? It's beautiful, it's great, and it's gone, right? So that's the next world. That's the ultimate bliss, right? But there's one thing about this world that makes all the next world, right? This makes it greater than the next one. What's that? Here, you keep accumulating up the reward of that bliss you're going to get in the next world. It's like, you know, there you cash in the chips, right? It's over. The casino closed. But here you got a chance to, you know, keep winning. Every mitzvah you do, you're getting more and more chips. When you get over there, it's too late. No more Torah, no more mitzvahs. You can't do anything. What do you got? Let's see it. Bring it in. Throw all your chips down. You're cashing it in. And now you get the reward. But now's a chance to get it, to earn it, to make more and more and more as much as you can. So that makes 1 hour in this world more valuable than all the next world, because there's no opportunity to do anything in the next world. Okay. Okay. This Shabbos, I should interject, Shabbos is called Shabbos Tshuva, right? The Shabbos in Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It is a special Shabbos besides all the aspects and besides the famous Shabbos Tshuva Drasha, which I'm going to give my own little synopsis of one in a moment. The Shabbos has a lot of mystical significance. I don't know how this works exactly, but in some way, if a person keeps this Shabbos, he can schlep up all the other Shabbosim. In other words, if a person, you know, like, kept Shabbos, right? No, keep Shabbos, right? But if he talked sports on Shabbos or talked politics, he didn't do Shabbos in the spirit of what it's supposed to be, right? Right? Shabbos Kodesh, right? Now, this is a chance. This Shabbos, be extra careful in everything you do, and somehow mystically, Kabbalistically, that can schlep up all the other Shabboses we didn't observe properly, literally, halachically, according to the code of Jewish law. And also spiritual, getting into Shabbos. You know, try not to lose Shabbos in the cholent. You know what I mean? Okay, so that's a special thing. I don't know how, and it goes to everything. All the tefillahs you daven in Shabbos and the Torah that you learn. This is a special Shabbos. Yes?
I think there was something that was said, if I don't know if it was in this class, about how although Hashem is always accessible to us, this time he's even more accessible.
Right.
So
right.
Is that sort of like in the same thing?
Right. We kind of hinted at that at the beginning. Dear Hashem, so kiri b'so karov, it says in Yeshayahu and Isaiah, call God when he is near. Mora says that's the 10 days of repentance. Right? It's a divine opportunity, literally. Hashem just waiting, yearning for us to do tshuva, tshuva to Hashem, return to him. Any prayers are really heard this time. Private supplications, English, Yiddish, French, I don't care. This is it. This is it. Kodesh Baruch is very close. It says like a king leaves the palace and walks amongst his subjects. The day before Yom Kippur, Erev Yom Kippur, this Sunday, it's a mitzvah to eat. It's a mitzvah to eat to the point that it's considered as if you fasted that day. In other words, you eat on the 9th of Tishrei, and you fast on the 10th of Tishrei, because Baruch Hu counts as if you fasted 2 days. Now, there's a lot of explanation to that. I'll tell you this much from our very own Rabbi Emanuel Feldman. Since he couldn't make it, I thought I'd bring you a little Devar Torah from him. And he says the following. You want to know why the Suda, he says, the Suda, the meal of Erev Yom Kippur, is greater than the fast of Yom Kippur. Yeah. Because it's always hard. This is such a, you know, he says things so concise. There's so much Torah in this. You can write pages on this. The reason the meal, Erev Yom Kippur, is greater than the actual fast of Yom Kippur, because it's easier, excuse me, backwards, it's harder to serve Hashem on a full stomach than when you're fasting. You hear? It's harder to serve Hashem when everything's going well on a full stomach than when you're fasting, when you got problems, no atheist in a foxhole. This week's parsha, Hazinu, Vayishman Yeshurun Vayivat, and Yeshurun, us, Israel, waxed fat and they kicked. We kicked. Listen to Sephorno. Beautiful, absolutely beautiful what he says here. Sephorno says, you know, we always think of just the opposite. We, you know, of course we ask Hashem to bless us with wealth and prosperity and peace. It's true, but sometimes, and we've mentioned this statement before, prosperity is a narcotic that can send the soul to sleep. Right? When a person has problems, right? Financial, in other words, he turns to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When he has, you know, all the bonds and stocks and bank accounts, sometimes he forgets who's in control. So listen, listen to this by Sephorno. What does it mean that Israel waxed fat and kicked, rebelled? You, Yeshurun, that's the elite name of Israel, by the way. You were a nation who grasped the Torah, Bale Ayon. You were like masters of digging and find the depth of the Torah. What'd you do? Panisa elata nugim agashmiim. You strayed after the pleasures of the world. And you got fat. And you got dull and coarse and grub. You desensitized yourself to spirituality. You tasted and chased after the pleasures of their world for their own sake, as a means to an end. And you got coarse and grub. You were like Balia Eon. You were so sensitive to spirituality. And look what you did yourself. You made yourself coarse. Harder to serve Hashem on a full stomach than when fasting. Now, I got to tell you, to be fair, I'm trying to get both sides of everything all the time here. You know, we have a ceremony by the Kohen Gadol on Yom Kippur where he takes two goats, one La'azazel, right, and one to Hashem. So the one to Azazel, which you throw off a cliff, you know, it's called a Seir La'azazel. Seir is a code name, by the way. It's in the prophets, Seir is a code name for Esav, which means pretty much the non-Jewish world, the Goyim. That's what it means. It says it many times in the prophets. HaKadosh Baruch Hu refers to Esav as Seir. Literally means the hairy one, like a goat's very hairy. So what is this? The Kohen Gadol does the ceremony. He places his hands on the goat, and he starts confessing all the sins of Israel, and then he throws them off the cliff. It's a great, great idea, no? Well, obviously, you know, that in itself is not going to work. We have to do tshuva. But what it's saying here, besides all the other many, many mystical implications that we have no concept of, what it's also saying is we're placing our sins on the Seir, on Esav, on the Goyim. And there's a certain amount of responsibility that we've, in other words, we've been bombarded by their culture and their civilization, right? And the surroundings always affect a person. So their influence has caused us to stray away. It's no excuse. We're still going to have to give a reckoning. But it will be like the litigation, it will be a little easier. We won't get full punishment because really if we were left alone to do what we want to do, Ritzoneinu l'asash v'tzoncha, our will is to do your will, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But what happens? You know, we get the shtumt, you know, all the Goyisha culture, civilization, the pennant race, the Super Bowls, whatever it is, that's the clean stuff, right? That distracts us from Avodas Hashem. We're not at home, we're in exile. We did it to ourselves. Okay, that's a little bit of representation. We put the sins on Esav, on the Goyim, a little bit. A little bit. It's not, it's like putting, you know, the example, it's like muzzling, you know, if you don't muzzle an ox in a field. You don't have to muzzle ox in a field that you can eat from, right? It's not, you know, not fair. How do you expect them not to eat if you don't muzzle them? You're not allowed to muzzle them. But at any rate, you know what I'm saying? Right? Person's on a diet, right? Or he's fasted for 2 days, and you put him in a, you know, great bank of all these delicious foods, and you don't expect him to eat? It's too much temptation. That's us in the Goyish world. So much temptation, so much distractions, Right? So part of those sins, again, this could be misinterpreted. I got to emphasize, it's not going to give us a clean slate. We got to do tshuva. We got to own up to our responsibility. We're very big on that. But there is a certain criteria there that will be lessened because of this. Yes.
Is that related in some way to who took the brunt of the sins of the Holocaust and the
Israelites? One more time, please.
Is that related in any way that we took the brunt of the sins of the Christians of the Holocaust too? How did you get that?
No, I don't know.
Any symbolism in there?
Not that I've heard of this. No, not that I know. That's something to be explored in itself. It's a very hard issue, the Holocaust. Right. Yeah, this is more the opposite. There's something to what you're saying in a different sense, that since we're the ambassador of God on earth, any blessing, any curse that comes on earth is really our responsibility. So we're not owing up to our responsibility. We're going to get slammed for all of mankind. So there is something to what you're saying, but it needs a lot of discussion because it could, if it's not explained, it could be really misunderstood. You know, I see the Jews deserve it, Khalilah. You know, the people go around saying that. Well, we're doing a, yeah. Go ahead.
We have three will. It's not any other religion's responsibility to help us to choose good. They're there doing their thing, and we're supposed to be doing our thing. I don't understand how that fits.
That's why I try to preface it over and over again, that it's not going to get us a clean slate. I'm just saying it's going to be mitigated to a certain degree. It's a stack. Sometimes we go into a situation where it's a stacked deck. Not long ago, 70, 80 years ago, we were in Europe in a position where if they did not allow Jews in any other business, they would not let us hold any business. So what do? We become money lenders. So they, when the Goyim started owing us money and couldn't pay back, they had pogroms and everything. So they kind of stacked the deck against us. So, okay, so now you say, well, we live in a beautiful country. America, by and large, has been good to us. I got to tell you, the danger here is greater than ever because, as we mentioned before, this is a Holocaust of love. Where everybody loves you and blend it. Everybody wants to get along with everybody. You don't like to stand out and look strange. You want to get along with everybody. So we're put in a culture in America, and we all look, let's face it, the way we dress, the way we talk, right? Especially where I'm from, right? Ain't no doubt about it, right? We all get affected and it rubs off on us, right? So all that desensitizes us to spirituality, right? You know, so. And it's very hard to always go against the tide. So part of that, because of that, the stacked deck against us, part of our punishment will be mitigated. It's not going to get us a blank slate. We got to do tshuva. We owe up, like I said, over and over again. But there's some part of it, we don't know how it works. The Kodesh Baruch Hu knows the score and knows what we're battling against. Come on, you know, we got 6 million Jews assimilated today. And most of them, it's not their fault. They don't know what's fine. They had no upbringing. Now, how are you going to say, are those Jews going to get punished when they get to the reckoning after 120 years? Is a Kodesh Baruch Hu going to slam them? No! They're Tinuk Shenishbu, that's the term, like captive children. All of us in this room, to some degree, are in that capacity. We didn't know better. We don't have our prophets. We don't have our base of Migdash. We're an orphan generation. That's what I mean. Okay? So we don't have the help that previous generations have. Okay, again, we put ourselves in exile, that's true. That's true, but Kodesh Baruch Hu is such a bulk, rachamim, he's so full of mercy that he tries to find us whatever benefit of doubt he can find. Okay. Yeah, that's right. We're going to have to hold questions, guys. Afterwards, we're going to stay afterwards for 30, 40 minutes. Anybody want to ask questions? I'm sorry, I have to do this again. I'll take one more set of questions before we get into the main stuff here. Listen to this. Unbelievable. M'chai Adam. This is a book of halacha. Right? Chana, this is what... I'm sorry to tell you this. Chana doesn't like sappy stuff, but this is the time for it. M'chai Adam. This is a book of halacha. This halacha. Listen to this halacha. A person should cry and confess on how he could anger his master, the master of the world, and how he could blemish his neshama that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him, that he's going to, that Latiglo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave you this neshama, and we blemished it, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to reward you with it. In other words, we just make that neshama, make it more spiritual. And we made it more magushim, more coarse. So a person should cry over this, and he should be embarrassed and full of shame and say to his heart, Ma Sisi, what did I do? Lo Zacharsi, I didn't remember the all the goodness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me and did, has done for me. And I've paid bad. I paid him back bad instead of all the good he's given me. I paid bad back for good he's given me. Oy li, oy alai, oy is me, woe is me. That's halacha. Hi Adam. Okay, I'll stop for a second to take questions, because then I'm going to get into the drush part of this. Any questions or point?
Well, you were saying that the people that totally assimilated, you said Hashem is not going to slam them when they move on to the next world. So why are we so afraid that, I mean... Right, I mean, we want to do this, but we also, you know, have this trembling, this fear. So if really you get away with it anyway, why should we even be afraid? I mean, we should still want to do, and we do want to do.
Right.
But I don't understand this.
We don't, everybody's different. How much is this person not responsible? It's not the same as this person. Maybe this person did have an encounter, had a chance to be invited. Right? Everybody here has been touched one way or another, has been brought closer, right? Right? So only Kodesh Baruch can judge that. Our job is not really to get too much involved in how Kodesh Baruch is going to judge us. Our job is to do everything we can to get close to him. Right? And, you know, at the end, you know, he'll make the reckoning. But if we sit back, the person sits back and says, well, I had no Jewish education, you know, my parents were intermarried and this and that. I'm not going to be able to respond, but I don't do anything. He's going to get slammed. He's going to get slammed. If he can make a statement like that, then he knows.
So he had enough awareness.
Right, he has enough awareness if he can make a statement. The same way a person says, I'll sin, this is a Gemara, and Yom Kippur will atone for me. Yom Kippur doesn't work. Right?
I'm not a Catholic.
Ain't that the truth? Okay. You know, there's 2 days of the year. I'm sorry, I'm not getting into it yet. There's 2 days of the year that we fast from night to night. You know, 26-hour fast. Tish B'Av and Yom Kippur. This is it. Tish B'Av, a person should be in so much pain. Very good. So much pain over the destruction of the temple, they shouldn't really have any appetite to eat. And Yom Kippur is such a divine opportunity. Every moment so precious. You're being cleaned up, right? You're being cleansed. You don't want to eat. So the vort, they say, is who can eat on Tisha B'Av and who wants to eat on Yom Kippur? It's very interesting. Rambam, when he talks about the halachas of Yom Kippur, you know, he uses, first of all, in the Torah, it uses the word Shabbos Shabbason, right? A double word of Shabbos, right? And Rambam uses the word that he says, you know, on this day we have a menucha. He says we have a rest. And we don't have to. It's not an affliction. We don't have to bathe, and we don't have to anoint ourselves with oil and relations, and we don't have to eat, and we don't have to drink. Right? You can take a rest from all that. Shabbos, a regular Shabbos means you don't do certain works, certain malachas, right? 39 different types of work, you know, categories. Shabbos, Shabboson, what's the extra Shabboson? You rest from certain works on Shabbos. Shabbos, and you rest from normally permitted things of the Gashmius world. You take a rest from them. You don't have to be distracted with them today. You don't have to eat today. It's not an affliction. You don't have to be bothered with it. It's a day that's all spiritual. You can concentrate on the main thing. Shabbos, Shabboson. That's what Rambam says. It's a day you don't have to get involved with these things. Depends on how you look at it.
Is it a choice, though?
What do you mean?
When I hear you say you don't have to, to me it means no.
It's a mind frame. No, you gotta do it. It's again like saying you serve Hashem out of love because you want to serve Him, But even if you don't get to that level, you still got to do the mitzvahs. You still got to abstain from these. But a person's mind frame should be, this is not an affliction. Yom Kippur is a pain. I can't wait. I'm so hungry. It should be the outlook. Wow, I'm looking forward to this. I wish it was more than one day a year, Yom Kippur, when Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to completely cleanse me. Right? Completely forgive me for my sins. What a great opportunity. Who cares about food? I don't want to bother with that today. Or all the other materialistic things. It's a mind frame. Right. That's what we... Okay. You know, everybody knows the story of the Chafetz Chaim, the famous story of the Chafetz Chaim. You know, a man was traveling through through town, and he visited the Chafetz Chaim, and he saw his furniture, which was like, you know, a very bare living room, just basically a wooden table and a few chairs. And the guy says, you know, you're the Chafetz Chaim, right? You know, greatest rabbi. Where's all your furniture? Where's your stuff? The Chafetz Chaim says, what about you? I don't see you with any more than I have. So what are you talking about? I'm passing through. I'm just traveling. All my luxuries. I have carpets and paintings and all this great furniture and chandeliers, everything, you know, in Borough Park, where I'm from. I'm just passing through. A couple times, so am I. I'm just passing through. All my real goods are being stored away in the real world. You know, everyone knows that story, right?
Okay. We do now.
Okay. All right. Yom Kippur is a microcosm of the essence of that story. Today, again, like we said, it's a day we rest from all these physical activities we just mentioned, that we can concentrate on the spiritual. There's another saying by the sages. Kol ha'maviro midaisav. A person overlooks insults. People insulted him, you know, hurt his feelings. If he ignores that, doesn't let it get to him, you know, I forgive the guy, I forget it, who cares? Then Kadosh Baruch Hu forgives you for the insult you did to him. Mida keneged mida. Okay, that's pshat. That's pshat. There's a deeper analyzation of what this Mamre Chazal, the saying of our sages, means. And that is, if you ignore, it really means kol ma'avir midoisav. The person ignores his traits, his desires, so to speak. You know, if you overlook the minor things in life and concentrate on the major things in life, right? Then Akash Baruch Hu also ignores those, you know, what you think are minor sins to him, and concentrate what's really on your heart. How does this work? See, in America, this is going to be very hard to explain this. Because America, everything is enjoy the good life. You know, everything is pursuit of the good life. The more comfort, the more, you know, bigger house, the better cars, everything. You know, that's the main thing here. So this is going to be hard to explain. But the Indian of Yom Kippur is to know what the truth is. To know what is ikkar and what is tofel. What's the main thing and what's the... You know, what's the steak and what's the mashed potatoes, if you will? Now, what's the main reason you're here? Yom Kippur, the day where you completely abstain from physicality and you're completely in shul and your davening Kodesh Baruch Hu is telling you a microcosm what life is supposed to be all about. That the main thing is avodas Hashem, is serving God. And that the pleasures of this world are secondary. So that's, you know, again, that's what we leave alone in Yom Kippur. I'll give you an example. We said this once before. Excuse me for a second. Person wins the lottery, right? Now, it happens his son broke a table, expensive table, you know, let's say, $1,000 table. So normally this would upset him very much, right? Today he won a lottery. He's a multimillionaire. So when he comes home and he sees the broken table, he's not going to be upset with his son. Who cares? It's a minor thing. The main thing is I'm a millionaire, right? Who cares? It's a little table. That's the way a yid should feel every day. A yid should feel that the main thing is I get to learn Torah, I get to daven, I get to do mitzvahs, right? These are the millions that we have. Oh, okay, so, you know, we all have these small things that happen to us every day. We're insulted, this doesn't go right, and that doesn't go right, and we don't have such good food, and we didn't have such a good enjoyment today. You know, something went wrong here or there, right? Someone's not acting nice to us. We got to know that's all kleinigkeit. That's all little things. That's not the main thing. That's the broken table. The main thing is you got it made. You're a Jew. You get to do Torah and mitzvahs. That's the millions we possess. Yom Kippur symbolizes that. So if you realize that the main point of life, that the truth of life, you'll see that's exactly what Yom Kippur is all about. We refrain from the pleasures of the world in order to think in order to concentrate on the truth. Why we're here, why we're supposed to be here. And we're supposed to learn out from Yom Kippur to take this out throughout the whole year, this attitude. Yeah, the pleasures of the world are nice if you have them, very good. But if you don't have them, you know, there's a saying, I think it's a Mishnah. It says, what's the way of Torah? How does a person learn Torah? Paspa melef tishta va arch yishon. I believe that's the way it goes. That a person, how is he supposed to live? If you really want to acquire Torah, you should have a little bread and salt, bread, salt, and water to eat, and on the ground you should sleep. A life, you know, depriving yourself. So it's not the vort that you can't enjoy this world and you literally have to do those things to acquire Torah. The idea is that you should be willing to do that to learn Torah. It doesn't matter to you what you eat. It doesn't matter to you what you sleep. Right? You just want to learn Torah. You want to do mitzvahs. When I say Torah, I mean avodas Hashem, serving God, and whatever that means, mitzvahs, tzedakah, learning Torah, davening, right? Right? That you realize the pleasures of this world are irrelevant. Like I said, if you have them, they're very nice, right? But if you don't have them, you don't use that as an excuse. You know, I don't have enough comfort from enough apartment. I don't have enough good food. I don't have enough money not to learn, not to do mitzvahs. Because then you're just reversing it. Then you're saying the main thing is I got to be comfortable. I have to have enjoyments. Then if I have time over, I'll learn. That's backwards. Yom Kippur teaches us you get away from the pleasures of this world. The main thing is you get to serve God. Right? Well, yeah, you eat whatever you eat, fine, good. Wherever you sleep, fine, good. You have nice things, very good, enjoy them. Use it. Use it to enhance, to give you more time to learn Torah and mitzvahs. But don't think because you have those things, that's the main thing. Oh, I finally made it. I finally got that dream home. I finally got, you know, that car, whatever it is. No, that's not the main thing, whether you have it or not. That's not the main thing. The main thing is ruchnius, spirituality. Chovas HaLevavos says an interesting thing. He says there's a contradiction. This is Duties of the Heart, this book is called. There's a contradiction between materialism, gashmius, and ruchnius, materialism and spirituality. He says, and everybody misunderstands this. It doesn't mean that you can't have materialistic things and not have spirituality. When he says there's a contradiction between the materialistic world and the spiritual world, what he means is the following, that a more, it's where a person's tshuka is, where a person's desire is, the more a person wants materialistic pleasures of the world, the less he's going to care about spirituality. That's what it means. The more a person wants spiritual pleasures in the world, wants to do mitzvahs, then the less he's going to care about the pleasures of the world. You know what I'm saying? You can have pleasures, but it doesn't bother you so much if you have them or you don't have them, right? If your main focus is on spirituality. Okay, so that's what this Chovas HaLevavos is. This is very interesting, you know. If you want to know, that's really like the big question, Yom Kippur. You know, it's interesting if you think about it. Let's stop. This is it. What makes you happy? What brings joy to your life? What keeps you going? That's it. That's all you got to ask yourself. Right? I'm going to tell you something. Rabbeinu Yonah says, amazing statement. He goes, you know, you go to the next world exactly with the tastes you develop in this world and the character traits. Right? Rav Fran tells a story about when he was a boy, he always wanted, the thing about slingshots, like little boys do, right? Slingshot, you know. So he said, you know, how would he have felt that on his bar mitzvah, you know, his parents come up to him and go, dear, slingshot. I'm terrible, right? It's not interesting anymore. Okay? Grow out of that. Hopefully we all grow out of this thing. Okay, so, you know, you're going to say, we're more sophisticated, right? When I get to the next world, you know, right? There will be. You know, if all I'm desiring this world is that Corvette Stingray, that's what I'll have there. I'll have that Corvette. Blue, the silver trim. Sunroof. And the moonroof. Right? Disc and stereo and the cassette. All of them. Both of them. Two of my adult things. Dual exhaust. The whole bit. Right? If that, you know, that's what you're into. If that's what you're into in this world, that it, you make your Olam Haba. You make your Olam Haba. You make your future world by what's important to you. How can, it says in the Parsha, the Kadosh Baruch Hu pays his enemies to their face. Why do you see wicked people prosper? One of the answers is they have a few mitzvahs. The Kadosh Baruch Hu pays them the face. We just said one moment of bliss, the reward for a mitzvah in the next world, is worth more than all the pleasure of this world. How can the Kadosh Baruch Hu shortchange them? No, for them, that's what they want. They don't believe in the next world. They don't want spirituality. They would feel shortchanged if they got spiritual rewards. They want materialistic rewards. Of course, Brochel pays them in this world, in the denomination that they can relate to. What's the denomination we relate to? What is it? What makes us happy? What gives us joy? What makes you tick? That's what you got to ask yourself. That's what Yom Kippur is all about. It's a day we abstain from the physical. Is that a pain? Or is that a tremendous opportunity? Can you wait? Can't wait till the fast is over so you can eat? Or are you going to say, oh wow, it's already 5 o'clock. There's only like 3-4 hours left. Where are you holding? Okay, we'll go back to this. Right. You got a desire, though. You know, like they say, if you reach for the stars, you may not catch any, but at least you won't get your hands stuck in the mud. You got a desire, right? You know, if I try to be like Rav Moshe Feinstein, I'm never going to make it, but maybe I'll be something what Dov Ber is supposed to be. But if I try to be just what Dov Ber is, you know, I won't end up being nothing. And you got to strive for heights. Just have... Kadosh Baruch Hu wants a desire. Rachmana liba boy. Kadosh Baruch Hu desires the heart. Okay. Yeah, just that we're all over, and then I'm going to take questions again. Okay, so again, I preface this whole thing with the American slogan of, enjoy life, comfort, enjoyment. So the more a person realizes that he's here, this is such a pithy statement, but listen to it, guys. The more a person realizes that he's here for ruchnius, for spirituality, they'll see that's in direct contradiction to the culture and society we live in. We pray for this government, it's great, everything else, but it's not a Torah government. It doesn't have Torah outlooks on life. Enjoy life for its own sake, that's it. It's not what Yiddishkeit's about. To build yourself and make yourself and more into a spiritual vessel while enjoying the beauties of this world. Of course, Baruch Hu made a beautiful world and he wants us to enjoy it. But you should see a Kadosh Baruch Hu in everything. Wow. Planes, a bird, apples, computers, amazing miracles of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. These are all miracles of a Kadosh Baruch Hu. Sure. What do you think? What do you think? That a man just puts things together in a different format. There's no such thing as an invention. No such thing as an invention. Everything was made at the beginning. What it says, if there's a verse, there's one word, it says, B'kivshua, conquer it. Go out, conquer the world. Rearrange the molecules and make these different things. Right? You get down to the very basics, electrical impulses, whatever it is, right? That's from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. He gave man the seichel, the ability to put these things together in these formats. Computers are a miracle from a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Okay. 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 You had a question, please. Shifra. Okay, go ahead.
He said here we're not set up in America for spiritual life and world, you know, just all the distractions. Is Israel? And if you live there, is it easier to be spiritual?
That's a very good question.
Or anywhere else in the world?
That's a very, very good question. It is. No one... unless you have a certain Rebbe, a certain yeshiva, you know, for a guy that is, you know, in outside of Israel, but all things being equal, there's no place you can fulfill a mitzvah in its complete format or get spirituality from the holiday, Shabbos, Yom Tov, as you can in Israel. Even Israel, exile Israel. You know, Israel not the way it's supposed to be, but it still is a Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. There's a holiness to the land of Israel. And, of course, you know, don't put yourself in Tel Aviv. You put yourself in, you know, Mea Shearim. You know, depends where you put yourself in Israel. Right.
So nowhere in the United States can you
ever... Well, sure, in the United States too. You know, obviously you're going to feel, you know, a lot more, you know, again, if you can ignore the other aspects of New York, but, you know, or Baltimore, or Borough Park, these things, you're going to feel a lot Muncie. You're going to feel a lot more than, you know, you are in Paris, Texas, you know.
Orlando.
Well, I mean, compared to those places, yeah, but, you know, Atlanta has a lot of spirituality in its own right.
Don't you think it's more the people you hang around with than the place you live?
It's both. You're probably right. That's probably a valid statement. You could have a little chevra in Indiana, and there is such this little place in Indiana, and they have a kollel there and a group. It's true. You have to, you know, dangerous. You stay secluded. While in Borough Park and Muncie, you can walk the streets and you see Yiddishkeit everywhere. That also has an effect on you. So they both can have an effect, but they both have an effect. Yeah, a lot of them, right. Okay, excuse me a second. I'm sorry. I didn't realize it's getting real late. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm cutting people short. I'll stay afterwards to answer any questions. Okay. You know, there's a, you know, what makes you happy, what makes you tick, what's the joy in your life? I have an answer for you. Could you hand me a sitter, please? There is a prayer that we say at least once a day. It's called a Uvalet Zion. This is really not for me. So a lot of this I'm giving you is from Rabbi Grossman. This is from Rabbi Fran. The Balad Sion in the Art Scroll Sitter here can be found on page 154. Excuse me. 156. It's the next page, continuation. Paragraph break. So it says the following. Again, this is to answer our rhetorical question, what makes us tick, what makes us happy. And here's the answer. Hu yiftach lebeinu b'saraso. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, open our hearts to your Torah. And put in our hearts, avaso v'yiraso, put our hearts to love you and fear you. To do your will, and to serve you with a full heart. Not to do mitzvahs routinely, half-heartedly. Again, it's beautiful. Listen to this. Open our hearts to your Torah. Let us enjoy Torah. You know, open our hearts to your Torah means to enjoy it, to find the sweetness, to look forward to it, to yearn for it. Put our hearts a love for you, that we should love. Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, to love God, to fear God, serve Him with full heart. Here's the clincher. Why? Laman lo nagia larik, velo neled lebehala, so that we do not go after vanity, or literally go after confusion, or futility. That's it. That's it. So Ralph Fron asked this question. Let me ask something. He says, if you don't have Torah, these things that we're asking for, you don't have Avas Hashem, love for God and fear of God, and you do His will, then all you're left with is vanity and futility. That's it. That's it. If you don't have these things, that's all it is. You're just left with a futile, just vain world, nothing, right? That's it. That's the answer. If you don't have Torah in your life, you don't have spirituality, you don't have Avas Hashem, a love for God, a fear for God, it's all Hevel Barik. It's all vanity. It's all futility. It all means nothing. That's it. All the wealth, fame, all that stuff. After 80 years, 90 years, 100 years, 110 years, it's gone. It ain't going with you. It's the oldest saying in the world. You can't take it with you. There's no asterisk there. You know, that's truth. You can't take it with you. That's it. That's it. We say this every day. That sums it all up. That's Yom Kippur. A day that we're trying to connect to Avas Hashem, a love of God, a fear of God, to do His will with a full heart. To open our hearts to your Torah. Well, I learned Torah. I learned Torah. Do I enjoy learning Torah? Do I look forward to learning Torah? Or am I in a hurry to get out of shul so I can go back to the real life? So I can find out what the Dallas Cowboys are doing. Find out what the Atlanta Braves are doing. Or play my tennis. Whatever it is. Well, I'll go shopping. Whatever it is. What makes you tick? What makes you happy? What is the joy in your life? Violet Sion tells you, you don't have Avas Hashem, Yiras Hashem, love of God, fear of God, a desire to do His Torah, the mitzvahs, and to serve Him. Everything else is Hevel Barik. It's all vanity. It's all futility. It means nothing. We all know people. We all know people, right, who've had it all. We're millionaires. Recently in my family, I had this multimillionaire. Yeah, we all know people like this. And at the bottom line, what overtakes all of us? Everybody's life. There's always some source. Lo leinu, illness, lo leinu. And finally, death. Lo leinu. Not for us, though. We don't die. A Torah Jew doesn't die. Torah Jew leaves this antechamber and goes to the great banquet. Anything you learn, it's opened up in its fullest dimension. Any desire, any, you went to the crowded shul and you were pushed this way and that way, you get reward for that. Kosher Baruch Hu brings you near. All those frustrations in your life, you tried so hard to get close to Him, you couldn't. Right? I tried! Oh, I'm going to open all those efforts to the ultimate. Now you're going to feel the warmth. You're going to feel everything's going to be opened up to you. The portals of wisdom will be opened up to you. Everything. You just put an effort in this world. But at least you got to pray that you want to do Torah. Open our hearts to your Torah. I want to love you. I don't love you, Hashem. I don't really feel Avas Hashem. I feel Avas chocolate. You know, I like chocolate. Right? But I wish I had a desire that I loved you. Oh, that's the ball too. Right, beautiful, beautiful. Make me the opening the eye of a needle. I'll make you the opening of a great banquet, right? Kutzker Rebbe says on that, yeah, make me opening the eye of a needle. A needle's steel, though. It has to be a stark opening. It has to be a strong opening. Right? Okay, one second. Let me just finish this and I'll take questions again. I have a similar prayer, by the way. Similar player, it's part of Tashlich, what we said of Rosh Hashanah. It's part of Tashlich, but it's not part of Tashlich. It's like a voluntary thing you could say. Okay, enough introduction, I'll tell you what it is. Avarachamim tenanu koyach ubrias. You gotta hear the words of this prayer, it's like so beautiful. Avarachamim tenanu koyach ubrias. Father of mercy, give us strength, energy, and good health. Lithrachak matanuge behevli oilam hazeh, to distance ourselves from the vanities and the pleasures of this world. We already explained that pleasures can be good, but not for their own sake. That's what this is talking about. Give us strength, good health, means to distance ourselves from the vanity of the world. Sorry, just a second. I can't remember this dang thing. I don't have it there. Gaiva, to distance her from the desires and the honor. Gaiva is the haughtiness of this world. And instead, I'm sorry. Your will, and to serve your full heart. I can't believe it. I say this prayer every day in my private supplications, and now I can't recall it. Merit us to feel happy, the joy in doing your Torah and mitzvahs. Tazgeinu liyat smeichim be'esek Torah secho mitzvah secho. U'avdecha b'levav shem, serve full heart, v'techein b'cha atami, to trust in you always, and to serve you b'lev shalom, with full heart. That's it. Distance ourselves from the vanities of this world, and let us feel the simcha of Torah and mitzvahs. Don't feel it. Let me feel it. I want to feel it. I want that to be my Iker Simcha. Okay. You know, there's a parsha called the Tochacha, the rebuke, in Bechukosai. Excuse me. In Kisava, we just had it a few weeks ago. And that parsha lists 98 curses. One of the ultimate one. It's right down there. It says, you know why these things are going to happen to you? I'm paraphrasing, Berav Kol, because you didn't serve Hashem in Simcha Berav Kol when you had it all, right? So the really shot on that is you did Torah mitzvahs, but you didn't do it b'simcha. Ki lo avadetas Hashem lokecha b'simcha. You did Torah mitzvahs. You are Shomer Shabbos. You put it tefillin every day. But you didn't do it with simcha. Merav Koil, because you had it all. You had the affluence. You had it everything. You had it made. You had the prosperity, right? You didn't do it with simcha. You didn't enjoy being a yid. You didn't enjoy doing Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, it's unbelievable. You could be a Shomer Shabbos. But if your main thing in this world is traced after the pleasure of the world, and you don't find a simcha in Torah mitzvahs, then the following 98 curses, the previous 98 curses come to you. The Arizal says something different. Listen to what the Arizal says. Same words. Tachad asher lo avaz Hashem l'checha b'simcha. Because you didn't serve Hashem b'simcha, merav kol. More merav kol from the affluence, from the prosperity. In other words, you didn't serve Hashem in simcha. But the simcha that you felt from doing Torah mitzvahs was nowhere near, didn't even compare to the simcha that you have from your secular things that you do. You hear? The joy you felt in doing Torah mitzvahs wasn't anything like the joy you feel when you go play tennis or you go on your vacations or you got your new dream home, whatever it is. You hear? That's the answer again. You know what made us happy? You know what made me happy? You know what gave me joy in life? That's what we got all got. That's the question we all got to answer. Ask ourselves. What makes me happy? What made me happy? What gave me joy in life? What kept us going? Right? Arizal said it wasn't the Torah mitzvahs. It was the Rav Kol. That's what kept you going. All the good stuff, all the good times you have. Enjoy life. The cars, the houses, the vacation. A man's happiness tells you where he's holding. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, you want to know, everyone wants to know this. We're going to finish here. Everyone wants to know this. What's the reward for a mitzvah in the next world? Want to know? You want to know? I know it. I know what it is. I can tell you what the reward for a mitzvah is. The reward for the mitzvah is exactly, to the same degree, the simcha you felt when you did the mitzvah. To that degree that you felt joy and happiness in the mitzvah, that will be the reward in the next world. Very simple. Each one of you can tell what your reward for mitzvahs are. Each one of you can make your own olam haba. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezachos Yisrael. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to give merit to Israel. Lefikach hir belam Torah mitzvahs. Therefore, he gave us a lot of Torah mitzvahs. They're not restrictions. It's not a yoke. Bunch of do's and don'ts. Whacked out religion. Ratzah HaKadosh Baruch Hu lezachos Yisrael. He wants to give us merit. Lezachos is also from the word to purify us. To purify. The more mitzvahs you do, every time you do a mitzvah, it has some sort of effect. You become more spiritual. Become more edel, become more delicate, more adina. You hear? Kadosh Baruch Hu wants, loves his children. So he gives a lot of Torah mitzvahs. Lots of these zakas Yisrael.
What about the mitzvahs that you don't really want to do because you're doing them and then you don't really like?
That's even greater. I did it because you said do it. I don't have a tshuka to do this mitzvah. It's tough. It's a tough mitzvah. I don't want to do it. And then I find a simcha and ask about it. That's unbelievable. You were Mekayim all the things. Nasa v'nishma. I did it because you said did it, and now I found a simcha in it. But even if I didn't find a simcha, I still did it. Proof. Beautiful. I'm going to tell you a story. No, excuse me?
But Renee is saying that she didn't want to, but then she got pleasure out of doing it. So if you do a mitzvah and you don't get pleasure, then it's what you said.
But you wanted to have pleasure. You wanted to have pleasure from it. Kadosh Baruch Hu, again, you'll be the eye of the needle. You wanted to. I want to enjoy this mitzvah. I don't enjoy it. I don't want to get it. Frankly, I want to play football. Okay, but you have a desire. Right. As long as you have the sincere heart, that's all Kadosh Baruch Hu wants for you. You can't force someone, love me. You know, fear me. You know, you can't force someone. I want to do that. I want to do that. That's good enough. That's all he asks. He knows the score. Again, the measure of a man is what makes him happy. That's the measure of a man. What makes him happy. Now, talking about man, I'm not going to get into that Irish kind of foolishness of that world. If you take yourself out of mankind, then you're saying a woman's an animal. Mankind means mankind. Everybody, all human beings. I'm not going to get caught up in these things.
Sorry.
That's all right. Okay, here we go. Okay. You make two quick stories, guys. You make your own Olam Haba, we said. You make your own, you decide what your heaven is going to be. There's a famous story. You might have heard this. This is by Chiddush Yerim, the great Chassidish Rebbe, the Chiddush Yerim. Can't remember the whole Misa, but the story went something, there was a wagon driver. There was a wagon driver who took the Rebbe to wherever he wanted to go. And it was a long distance, and he wanted to do this for the Rebbe. He recognized the Rebbe as a whole person. This guy was basically an uneducated man. And he didn't have any desire to Torah mitzvahs, you know. He wasn't a Shomer Shabbos and so forth and so on. So he's taking the Rebbe to his destination, and one of his horses died on him. Goes a little while later, another one of his horses died on him. All right, to make this short story short, both horses died on him. He was like so broken, you know. He's trying to, you know, what are we going to do? Livelihood. He started crying and crying. And he plots. He dropped dead too. So they got to heaven, and they say, this guy, this balagola, this wagon driver, is a ben olam haba. He gets olam haba. Look what he did. He was trying to give the Rebbe, a holy person, a ride. Tzaddik. It's true. Chiddush Yerim had a dream about this, and he saw this guy got olam haba, absolutely no doubt about it. But what was his olam haba? So what are they going to do with this guy? He knows no Torah mitzvahs. That would be a Gehenna for him. That would be hell for him to give him Torah mitzvahs. He didn't develop himself in this world to feel the sweetness of Torah mitzvahs, right? So, the Kedusha Rim saw in the dream, saw the guy in a beautiful carriage. Beautiful, most beautiful wagon you've ever seen. Gold, silver, studded, with two white, beautiful Clydesdale horses. Right? That was his Olam Haba. And he run around all day long in it. It was gorgeous, beautiful. Everything he ever wanted. Right? My Corvette. He was driving it. Right? You hear? You make your own Olam Haba. The guy definitely went to Olam. He didn't go to get him. But what kind of Olam Haba? I'll tell you one more story. We're going to finish with this. Everything we've been saying, I keep harping on Torah. And I really mean that as Avodas Hashem, any kind of service to God. Well, let's face it, you know, not all of us can learn Torah. And those of us that can learn, we don't feel like we can learn in depth, you know. I can't learn like the Kol rabbis learn, right? Can't learn it. What can you do? You know, I'm telling you, the next world, everything is about Torah. So let me ask, you can't learn. Let's say you can't learn. Or you don't enjoy learning. I'll say it better. You don't enjoy learning. Because everybody can really learn. Whatever. What about chesed? Chesed. The first Jew is the pillar of chesed, Avram Avinu. The world was built on chesed. I'm going to tell you another story from Rabbi Fran on the koyach of chesed, the power of chesed. Has anybody ever heard of Rabbi Ruderman, Zichron Levracha? You know, he was one of our leading rabbis. He passed away a few years ago. It's an unbelievable story. He's the Rosh Yeshiva of Ner Yisrael, where most of the Kol rabbis come from. He went up, it's an amazing story, the Rosh Yeshiva, Bucky Bashas, he knew the entire Talmud, all 63 tractates, backwards and forwards. The guy was a genius. He wrote Sforim, unbelievable, big tzaddik, did a tremendous amount of chesed himself. He goes up to a bachur in yeshiva, a single guy in yeshiva, and he says to him, Zeit Apollo, fair dear, pray for me, daven for me. I want you to daven for me. So he says, he goes on, he says, my name is Yaakov Yitzchak Ben Shena. Please, Miss Paul, for me. So the guy started laughing. You know, the guy says, it's a joke? The Rosh Hashiva wants me to play for him? So he's like, okay, it's a joke, but he's trying to make me feel good. Right? He's trying to make me feel good. So the Rosh Hashiva got very serious. Says, I'm very serious. I'm asking you, please, like Mitpalo from here, please pray for me. So, what's Pshat here? You know what this bachur used to do? This guy used to go every Erev Shabbos. He used to go to a far out place on the outskirts of town. There's another little town there. And he used to take care of this elderly man. Every Friday, he would go out and take care of this elderly man who was Nabuch Meshuggah. It was mamish nuts. It wasn't easy to do. Every Friday used to do this. So Rosh Yeshiva, Rabbi Ruderman said, I want your tefillas. You got the schus of that chesed, the merit of that chesed? I want your tefillas. Miss Paul for me. Rosh Yeshiva knows Gantz Shas. Does chesed himself, tzedakah. Thousands upon thousands of his students are teaching thousands and thousands of other students. But I want your tefillah. I want your prayers. That act of chesed. Every Friday you go and take care of an elderly man who's mamish meshuggah, drives you nuts, and you still take care of him. That's the koich of chesed. Everybody, in their own way, we can do something this year. Mida keneged mida, someone said. Measure for measure. You do chesed with your fellow man, yeah?
Fellow woman, too.
Ra'akadosh Baruch Hu going to do chesed with us. We'll see what's in the heart. Rachmana liba boy. Hashem wants the heart. I'm going to finish with this last thing. Yom Kippur is a time to wake up from our slumbers. It's a time to get our priorities in check. What's the ikker? What's the tuffle? What's the main thing? And what's the side issues? We're the lottery winners. We're Jews. We get to do Torah mitzvahs. Spirituality is the main thing. Yom Kippur, abstain from the physical. Microcosm. For the whole year, for the whole life. What's the ikkar reason we're here? What makes us happy? Develop those spiritual taste buds. We've been saying it all month. David HaMelech Psalms, Achad Sha'alti Me'eis Hashem. There's only one thing I'm asking from you, Hashem. Oysa V'kesh. L'chazos ben... Excuse me. Shifti B'veis Hashem Kol Yimei Chayai. The only thing I want is to always dwell in your house. L'chazos B'noyam Hashem. To find the sweetness, the pleasantness of doing, of serving you, of saying brachas, of doing chesed, of putting on tefillin, of having tzitzis, whatever it is, right? I want to find the sweetness in it. Let me feel the sweetness, the pleasure. Olavakir b'chalo, and be like a visitor. You know, when you're a visitor, everything's fresh and exciting. It's new. You're excited about it. I want to always be in your house and have that mental frame like being a visitor for the first time. It's new. It's exciting. It's geschmack. Right? That's what I want. The Skyla Rebbe says, this is it, guys. On Yom Kippur, if nothing else, we keep talking about, we're not holding there. We're not holding there. We can't do this. We can't do that. You can do this. This one thing you can do. This is a quote from him, and he was a big tzaddik. If one cries from the depths of his soul, Tati, Tati, surely his compassion, surely HaKadosh Baruch Hu's compassion will be aroused, and he'll seal us in the Sefer HaChaim, the Book of Life. Simach Simatayva, to everyone.